speak up and tell anyone who asks why you're living the way you are, and always do that with the utmost courtesy. That's from the Message, and if you want to hear that from the King James, it sounds very much the same. It says this, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear. Now that whole proposition of explaining your faith to others can be a little scary. It can be a daunting proposition. But tonight, I think you're going to find there is no need for fear in this process. In fact, God has made it easy for you to be able to share your
faith. I'm old and I'm not happy.
Oh, brother.
What is this? Look at all these instruments around here. You just take a seat there, young man. In my day, we didn't have the drums and the guitars and the noise boxes. In my day, we had a hollowed-out log that we hit with a stick. In my day, we had a couple of rocks that we banged together. Sometimes we'd get knocking those rocks, the sparks would get flying. Oh, we'd have to get a bucket of water when we were singing hymns. Oh, get a bucket of water, we're singing some hymns tonight. That's the way it was, and we liked it. Oh, we didn't have creative ways of reaching the lost. Anything artistic was considered evil. Why, if you so much as crossed your legs while you were sitting in a pew, it was considered dancing. The elders would have a special meeting and take you out back. Oh, and new ideas? Oh, heck, we just hang our heads out the window at the church, yell the gospel of people passing by. Repent and rejoice, you old bat. Jesus loves you, you old bugger. Oh, to see the joy in their eyes when they heard the good news. And that's the way it was, and we liked it. Oh, yes. And we didn't care about what visitors thought of the service. No, in my day, church was supposed to be painful. We'd go out before the church service and we'd put tacks on all the pews. Yes. And if you got bored, you'd find ways to entertain yourself. Why, even if it meant playing connect the dots with Edith's moles on the back of her neck. or counting the hairs coming out of Abner Greasley's ear. Great service, Pastor. I traced out the Liberty Bell on Edith's neck. That's the way it was, and we liked it. Tell you, and what's all this talk about gift of evangelism? Oh boy, I'll tell you, leveraging one's giftedness. If you so much as said leveraging one's giftedness in my day, you'd get a big old sock right in the mouth. If we got everybody together in my day and got their spiritual gifts together, we'd have to change the name of the church to the First Church of the Green Jello Salad. I'll tell you, but that's the way it was in my day, and we liked it. We liked it. Oh, how I miss those days when we were just a bunch of jello making a rock thumping mole artists screaming the gospel out the window of people, and that's the way it was, and we liked it.
Well, I can learn from anyone. I like to credit myself on that. Let's look together at Luke chapter 5, verses 27 through 32. If you brought your Bibles tonight, that's great. You can open up to that passage. If you didn't, bring your Bible next week. Tonight, we're going to have the pertinent scripture up on the center screen for you. Miss Shando ran that for us. We're going to continue our walk with Jesus. Remember, we're walking with Jesus, following where he went, and learning what he did along the way. You're trying to learn more about God and more about what God has for us at each of these stops. Now, if you've been with us, you know that Jesus has chosen some of his disciples. He's reached out to certain disciples and certain men and asked them to become his disciples. But at this point, Jesus has not reached his magic number of 12 yet. He's still looking for people to work with him and come with him, drop what they're doing and go with him and just become his apprentice. So that's where we pick up our story tonight, Luke 5, starting at verse 27. As Jesus left the town, he saw a tax collector named Levi, or Matthew, sitting at his tax collector's booth. "Follow me and be my disciple," Jesus said to him. So Levi got up, left everything, and followed him. Now later, Levi, again Matthew, we can also call him Matthew, held a banquet in his home with Jesus as the guest of honor. Now many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests also ate with them. But the Pharisees and their teachers of religious law complained bitterly to Jesus' disciples. "Why do you eat and drink with such scum?" Ah, good religious leaders here. Jesus answered them, "Healthy people don't need a doctor. Sick people do. I have come to call not those who think they are righteous, but those who know they are sinners and need to repent." Now this passage here, and what we're learning on this stop, is actually going to throw us into a topic on evangelism or sharing your faith. Because what I want to focus on is really just one gigantic little word over there. The word later. You see, if you look at this passage as you're reading through here, this the first part of the passage is where Jesus says to Matthew, "Hey, follow me. Drop everything you got. Follow me. Be my disciple." And he does that. But later, he throws a party at his house. You see, each one of us have to go through what Levi went through. When we accept Jesus Christ as our Savior and we're followers of Jesus, you're going to have to explain that to people. People are going to ask, "Why aren't you coming here on Saturday night to wherever they're going?" And you tell them, "Oh, I'm going to church." "What? On Saturday night? Where's your church?" "Well, it's in this school in Phillipsburg." And you're going to have to wind up getting into a discussion about your faith and about Jesus. Well, this is what Matthew does, or Levi. I would like to take a look tonight at some other ways that the Bible shows us on how we explain to people who Jesus is and actually introduce them to Jesus. Earlier we said that this topic is called evangelism, and if we listen up real good tonight, each of us should be able to identify how you have been wired up. One of these five ways that we're going to look at should resonate with you and say, "Yeah, that makes sense to me. That's how I would want to communicate my faith about Jesus, the good news I found. That's how I would like to do that." And then you will fulfill the command we looked at earlier from 1 Peter of always ready to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that is within you. So, we're going to hold Matthew. He's going to be our number five, okay? He's our number five illustration. We're going to look at four other illustrations from the Bible on how you can share your faith, how you can evangelize and share Jesus with friends. The first comes from Acts chapter 7. Just need to write that down, Acts chapter 7, because you can look at this later. This is what we call the confrontational sharer. Okay? This person shares Jesus and introduces Jesus to others confrontationally. So I want to read you a little bit of this. This is Stephen. Stephen is going to be persecuted because he is a follower of Jesus, and the Jews, after Jesus had left, the Jews came and oppressed those who were following Jesus. And Stephen is at this point. So they don't know Jesus like he does. So he gives them a little information. He introduces them to Jesus. So I'll just read it to you from Acts chapter 7, verse 51. And this is how Stephen shares the good news he has. "You stubborn people! You heathen! Heathen at heart and deaf to the truth! Must you forever resist the Holy Spirit? That's what your ancestors did, and so do you. Name one prophet your ancestors didn't persecute. They even killed the ones who predicted the coming of the righteous one, the Messiah, whom you murdered. You deliberately disobeyed God's law, even though you received it from the hands of angels." Close the quote. Please don't cut that snippet out and send that to YouTube, as this is Pastor Drew in his glory, because that's not what I do. Yeah, this confrontational approach, whoo! These guys are totally unafraid. When you have the gift, the confrontational approach, the confrontational sharer, you are direct and you are to the point. You put people on the spot and you make them uncomfortable. You go with fire and brimstone at these people. That's the way confrontational sharers do this. One of my favorites is in the movie Pollyanna, where Pollyanna's pastor in the beginning, he's this kind of confrontational sharer with his church. And he has no problem teaching sermons that say, "You are on a rotted canvas that is covering the pit of hell. And as you walk across it, the threads are breaking under the weight of your sins." And this is how he shares the good news about Jesus Christ. Well, guess what, gang? That might sound a little crazy to us, right? It works. Guess who it worked on? Me. The person who got through to me was a confrontational sharer, and also that was tagged along with a confrontational movie. I watched a movie that if you were to watch this movie now, you would laugh, and so silly. Seems like old movies that we thought were great. If you try to show those to people now, it was great 25 years ago. If somehow it lost a little something. And I remember this movie I watched, Distant Thunder. Talked about the end times and how Christians will be persecuted and how this big giant wasp tail comes in with a big stinger and it's going to sting all the people who haven't known Jesus. And I was scared to death. I accept. I want to go to heaven. This kind of stuff works. Putting people on the spot. I have seen this used maybe with a little less venom, maybe with a little less force, a little less horsepower when it comes to using this approach. I've seen people use this door-to-door. Go door-to-door and say, "Hey, if you died today, would you know you're going to heaven?" Put them right on the spot. People sharing their faith with others saying, "If I was at the gates of heaven and I was inside and you came walking up, you've just passed away and you've come up to the gates of heaven, and I said to you, you know, the thing is locked, these gates are locked, why should I unlock it for you?" This is very confrontational. You're coming to them direct and to the point, and you are sharing what you've learned, the good news of Jesus Christ, in that way. There are confrontational evangelists out there all over the place. Now, I would say this. I would give these folks, if this is you, I would give you one word of wisdom, a little balance here, okay? And that would be this. Just what we saw in 1 Peter. Be tactful and well-mannered, okay? This kind of sharing horsepower in the wrong hands has actually driven people away from the church. And it's actually done damage when Peter had wrote, "Be courteous and meek with this." But put that down. Now, don't circle one of these. We'll see which one you are as we go along. That's our first sharing approach of sharing the good news of Jesus. The second is what we call the testimonial sharer. Okay? I want to read this passage to you. You can write this down. John 9, starting at verse 1, go to 25. I'm going to give you highlights of this, and I want you to hear this story, as I think it'll show you a good illustration from the Bible of a testimonial sharer. Okay? "As Jesus was walking along, he saw a man who had been blind from birth. Jesus spit on the ground made mud with the saliva, and spread the mud over the blind man's eyes. He told him, "Go, wash yourself in the pool of Siloam." So the man went and washed and came back seeing. Now his neighbors and others who knew him as a blind beggar asked each other, "Isn't this the man who used to sit and beg?" Some said he was, and others said, "No, he just looks like him." But the beggar kept saying, "Yes, I am the same one." And they asked, "Who healed you? What happened?" He told them. He said, "The man they called Jesus made mud, spread it over my eyes, and told me, 'Go to the pool of Siloam and wash yourself.' So I went and washed, and now I can see." "Where is he now?" they asked. "I don't know," he replied. Then they took the man who had been blind to the Pharisees, okay? The Pharisees asked the man all about it, so he told them. "He put the mud over my eyes, and when I washed it away, I could see." Then the Pharisees again questioned the man who had been blind and demanded, "What's your opinion about this man who healed you?" The man replied, "I think he's a prophet." Well, the Jewish leaders still refused to believe. "God should get the glory for this, because we know this man Jesus is a sinner." "Hey, I don't know whether he's a sinner," the man replied, "but I know this, I was blind, and now I can see." End of the passage. You see, Westbridge, this testimonial sharer simply tells others what Jesus has done for them. "I don't know a lot of things, but I know this. I was lost and without hope, and now I have hope, and I'm in the family of God with others all around me, and God guiding my life." You see, this good news sharer has more success telling how God changed their life than if they tried to preach a sermon about the end times or try to explain what happened to the dinosaurs. Caleb got it. All right. The testimonial approach is simple, it's honest, and it cannot be debated like the Pharisees try. This type of evangelist, or this sharer of God, simply tells their story to explain the hope that they have inside of them. Now, let's give this, if this is your approach, is how you're wired up, let me give you a little balance here, a little caution as you use this, and that is this. Learn who Jesus is and learn what Jesus wants. See, you don't want your testimony 10 years from now to still end with, "I don't know whether Jesus is a sinner or a saint." You don't want that. You should know more than that in that time. We must learn more than what God did for us then and get to know him better along the way. Okay, we're through two types of sharers, right, from the Word of God. The third, the intellectual sharer. This you can write down Acts 17 and just read the whole chapter. Okay. Let's go to Acts 17 for this one. I'm going to read you a couple verses. Here it is. As was Paul's custom, he went to the synagogue service, and for three Sabbaths in a row, he used the scriptures to reason with the people. He explained the prophecies and proved that the Messiah must suffer and rise from the dead. He said, "This Jesus I'm telling you about is the Messiah." Some of the Jews who listened were persuaded, and they joined Paul and Silas, along with many God-fearing Greek men and quite a few prominent women. All right, that ends that text. This good news sharer really has their Bible facts down. All right? They can walk into a discussion, and they can quote verses, and they can give references off the top of their head. I have a guy in my small group who just starts quoting scripture all the time, knows it. It's amazing the way he does this, my friend. This passage tells us that Paul was great at this type of evangelism, sharing his good news about Jesus. He persuaded people with facts. He persuaded them with reason, and he used logic to get there. Now, our fuel group, you've heard about our fuel group, that's young kids all the way up to high school, age, the end of high school. They had done a study recently called True You. This is a fascinating study. It's very heady. It was done almost like a college class, and what they covered in this material for a long period of weeks were all kinds of explanations about this type of evangelism. They learned things in there where scientists would prove that we're in an ever-expanding universe. And this piece of information, gives all kinds of trouble to people who don't believe in God. And then they studied about DNA and the complexities of DNA and how it couldn't possibly have happened by chance. Then they looked at archaeological evidence for Bible facts, and they just had all this information that kids are getting bombarded with only the other side in school, and especially in colleges. So they did this kind of information. Now, this kind of information is just eaten up by the intellectual God sharer. They love this kind of stuff. Now, that might be how you're wired up. If you are, let me give you just a little bit of balance here to help you as you move out into the world and do this. The flag is this. It still all comes down to faith, guys. It does. We are not going to have every answer given to us on this side of eternity. It's still going to come down to, just like Jesus said, you're going to have to take faith in something that you can't see. Something bigger than yourself. So, as you explain, which is a great thing to do, like Paul did, just remember, eventually it's going to be a step of faith. The fourth evangelist we're looking at, the fourth good news sharer, is what we call the service sharer. Acts chapter 9, you can write that down. Acts chapter 9, do go to verse 36 through 41, and we will read that now. There was a believer in Joppa named Tabitha, which in Greek is also Dorcas. That's how most people refer to her, as Dorcas. She was always doing kind things for others and helping the poor. About this time, she became ill and she died. Her body was washed for burial, and it was laid in an upstairs room. Not what I want you to do for me, by the way, guys. I'm not looking to go into the upper room, slide me in up there, all right? No, find something else to do. Party around it here. That sounds good. All right? But the believers had heard that Peter was nearby at Lydda. So they sent two men to beg him, please, come as soon as possible. Because Dorcas had passed away. So Peter returned with them. And as soon as he arrived, they took him to the upstairs room. The room was filled with widows who were weeping and showing him the coats and all the other clothes Dorcas had made for them. But Peter asked them all to leave the room. Then he knelt and prayed. Turning to the body, he said, "Get up, Tabitha." And she opened her eyes. When she saw Peter, she sat up. He gave her his hand, and he helped her up. I want to have you focus and look at this section of this scripture that says this. The room was filled with widows who were weeping and showing him the coats and other clothes that Dorcas had made for them. You see, this woman, the Bible tells us right in the beginning of the passage, this was a believer of Jesus Christ. There was a believer in Joppa named Tabitha. She shared her love of Jesus by using her hands to serve others. You see, this type of person loves to show God's love and have that open the door to explain Jesus to them by digging ditches and trenches out on a mission field to give wells to nations that don't have them. This person shares God's love working in a community soup kitchen. This person shares God and his love by delivering dinners to the hurting. They change flats for complete strangers on the side of the road. And they give rides to people who have none. This type of sharer blows people's minds away by being a physical part of God's provision and helping here in the world. The only caution I would offer this type of sharer, if this is you, is this. Make sure you give them the ultimate help. My Bible college, one of my Bible professors said one time, he says, we ought to always be about helping others. We ought to all be able to work a hammer so we can help someone with their home. He says, but you know what? Help is one thing. He says, you want to make sure that that's not all you do, because if you do, you're just giving people a better ride to hell. And I never forgot that line. You don't want to give someone just a better ride to a terrible destination. You want to share the truth with them and let them know about who Jesus is. So, we have looked at four and we are back where we started. Back to our original part of the passage, Matthew or Levi. We're back to the later part in 29. Levi held a banquet in his home with Jesus as the guest of honor. Many of Levi's fellow tax collectors and other guests also ate with them. Here is our last type of sharer, and it is the invitational sharer. This evangelist, this sharer of good news, brings people to meet Jesus and invites others to meet them from God's family. Matthew threw a party to show his friends and family why he had chosen to leave his job and travel with Jesus. He threw a party to explain that to them. Matthew's gift was merely inviting people to this party so that they could rub shoulders and get to know Jesus and the followers of Jesus. The good news sharer always allows the body of Christ, allows the church, and allows all its members to help the lost find the hope that they themselves have found. Now, if that sounds complex to you, if this sounds like this is a really in-depth thing to do, let me show you what this looks like. I caught a believer in the midst of this. Here it is. Oh, there's one. There's one right there. I've got one spotted. An invitational sharer who merely loves on people and gives them a balloon and a magnet for their refrigerator that says, come visit us any Saturday night, and invites them here. You know, Pastor Scott and the elders and myself and all of the leaders here, all those who work here at Westbridge and Services, we pray that the service we provide on Saturday night and all of the other ministries we do outside of this room help make it easier for the invitational sharer to invite people to. We pray that it would be easy for you to invite someone to men's group, women's group, fuel, an outing, or even here on Saturday night. Like the woman at the well that Scott taught us about, who invited her whole town to come and see what I have met. Like the apostle Andrew, who invited his younger brother John to come meet this man named Jesus. And like Matthew, throwing a party, inviting his friends and family to come meet Jesus. We hope that this church and this church family make your job easier if you are an invitational evangelist to be successful. So, we've looked at all five. Now it's time for you to circle one of them. Are you confrontational? Because guess what? You got big horsepower. And you can get a lot done for the kingdom of God. And you're brave. Circle that. Maybe you're a testimonial sharer. One who just wants to tell what Jesus did in their life. Cool. Circle that. Maybe you're one of those intellectual folks who spend a lot of money on CBD. Christian book distributors and buy all information and learn and learn and learn. Great. We need that type of logic. We need that type of proof. Maybe you're service oriented. Maybe the way to share Jesus is through helping others, rubbing shoulders and letting them get to know you, and eventually sharing Christ with them. Circle that if that's you. Or maybe this invitational approach makes sense to you. Circle that if that's you. You see, to leverage your gift, you merely need to be who you are. You don't need to change. You may need to learn more as you go and make that gift stronger, but you don't need to become something you're not. You need to be you, who God wired you up to be. And then, as you do this, as you are intentional about sharing the good news of Jesus, you will be obeying the command that we read earlier. Speak up and tell anyone who asks why you're living the way you are. And always with the utmost courtesy. You know, Jesus left these closing words for us. I find them incredibly powerful. I want to share them with you tonight. Jesus left this for you and me so that we could answer that, well, so what? So what with all this information? Well, here's Jesus answering that question. You're here to be light, bringing out the God colors in the world. God is not a secret to be kept to yourself. We're going public with this. As public as a city that sits on a hill. If I make you light bearers, you don't think I'm going to hide you under a bucket, do you? I'm putting you on a lampstand, a light stand. Now that I've put you there on a hilltop, on a light stand, shine. Keep open house. Be generous with your lives. By opening up to others, you'll prompt people to open up to God. Matthew 5. I'm going to ask the band, the worship leaders, to come back. And I'm going to ask you, now that you've circled something on your page, to talk to God about it. Say, Lord, now that I know exactly how I can do this, and it's not as scary as it seemed in the beginning, now it's time to talk to God and say, give me the strength through the power of your Spirit to do this. Guide me to the right people, Lord, and bring those to me who want to know about Jesus so that I can confront them, maybe just help them in service, maybe tell them what Jesus has done in my life, or maybe invite them out here, or maybe so that I can learn more and more of what maybe the Bible truth is, so I can give them logic and reason. I ask you to do that as the band takes us through a final song tonight. Would you pray with me? Lord, I pray that you'd help each of us to learn what you showed us along this stop on the road, that we can be people who can follow you and, as Matthew did, who threw a party and invited people to come and meet you. Lord, there are so many who need to hear the good news, so many who need to connect with you. And in your infinite wisdom, you said the best way to do that was to leave us here to tell them. I pray that you'd help each of us to engage that, each of us to embrace what you've called us to do, and be the evangelists, to be those who share the good news that we've found with this world and do it in the way that you wired each of us up to do it in. Bring that this week, Lord, and pray that you'd keep us strong through the weekdays. We leave ourselves in your hands. Amen. We'll see you next week, 7 o'clock.